Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy. Yankee Doodle do or die. A real live nephew of my Uncle Sam. Born on the 4th of July. I've got a Yankee Doodle sweetheart. She's my Yankee Doodle joy. Yankee Doodle came to London just to ride the ponies. I am
the
Yankee Doodle Boy.
Hi, everybody. This is the Clinton Bush Radio Show, and I am Dave Stisley. Welcome to the program, and on today's show, we're going to be talking about Hillary's new standby setup that exploits 9/11, quite frankly. Brought by Hunter Pure, Barack Obama, about Pale 10. Talk about the map. And isn't even newsworthy anymore when the White House admits there's, is uncovered that they're still torturing. No will today, so on the program is George. Hopefully, and everything will be nice. Let's see here. George. This is interesting. George, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, George, can you hear me?
Jason, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
In and out. It's very muffled.
Yeah, I'm hearing everything in a very muffled manner as well. This is going to be a fun conversation. our phone line wasn't like this until I actually called in and entered my PIN number. Then I heard two loud beeps. And then he turned to static. So, maybe issues continue. George, let's talk about the Yankees for a minute.
Say that one more time?
Let's talk about the Yankees for a minute.
Oh, the Yankees?
Yeah.
Oh, well,
Give me your thoughts on your team.
I can't hear your taunting. What was that?
Give me your thoughts on your team.
My thoughts on the team, I think that it was basically just a matter of getting basically like overpowered by a couple of Cy Young candidates. I mean, like these guys, they came out swinging, and while we were able to get to CC Sabathia, we were not able to put much of a dent at all in Carmona. And I tip my cap to both of them. They pitched, two outstanding games, and it's a real shame that Andy Pettit couldn't pick up a win on game two, because he really pitched his heart out and he did exactly what he always did for us. And if it weren't for a couple of ill-timed wild pitches that really kind of blew things for us.
Is it over, George?
It is not over. I refuse to put
it over. It's over, George.
No, it is not over. It is not over. I refuse.
Well, Roger's going to come out. Roger's going
to
come out.
I refuse to put the crown on their heads. I refuse to put the crown on their heads until they earn that third game.
Okay, seriously, it is the series. I don't think they'll take the big risk.
I'm sorry, I can't hear that. What was that?
If they lose this series.
If the Yankees win the series?
If they lose this series, Brian Cashman, gone.
No, I don't think so. I think that I can basically see, I was actually joking about this with a friend of mine who's also a fellow fan. We were talking about how there's going to be a moment like the end of Animal House, where all of Delta House were called into Dean Wormer's office, and all of Steinbrenner's stars are going to be brought into his office, and he's basically going to read off their averages during the series. And if things were to end now the way that they did in the past couple of games, then this is going to be a really pathetic group of numbers. And again, it's a matter of, if they can force a game four and then hopefully a game five, then obviously you're going to see some very much improved numbers. But if they can't get out of their own way against Jake Westbrook, then they deserve to lose.
The problem is their pitching just isn't good enough. The bullpen isn't good enough. They don't have enough good relievers to get to Rivera. And their starting pitching just hasn't done it. You know what I mean? And it was great, but the bullpen came in and gave it away.
Well, the bullpen. Basically, what happened was, I mean, like, you know, like the bullpen had some issues, you know, like with, you know, like with those bugs and everything. Like, I mean, first Jabba comes in and in five pitches he's out of it. He gets out of the jam. But then he, you know, like the first thing that he did was he wound up walking, and then they were showing him like at the beginning of that inning with you know, problems with the bugs in his eyes. You know, like literally, like in his eyes. You know, like the guy was really.
The bugs are on a good excuse. But you know what? I thought about this. The problem is Chamberlain is so young. Do you think a veteran pitcher would have went to the umpire and said, "I can't see, or these bugs, I can't pitch in this element"?
Right. And that's what really did him in.
Top of the ump.
That was what did him in. Because, you know, like he couldn't. You know, like he was able to get those two outs with Grady Sizemore on third, but it was just a matter of like that fateful wild pitch.
If
we get out of that, it would have been over. The game would have been over.
But also the thing is this: if you have a veteran reliever to run out there at that time, the outcome might be different. If you have a steady veteran setup man, instead of having to rely on the rookie, you know, they're just a flawed team. They're a deeply, deeply flawed team by construction. They're too old in a few spots. Their starting pitching is, except for Wang and the young guy, Philip Hughes, they need young pitching. They need an infusion. And you can see Pettit around. I think Pettit's done really well this year. But out of the three old guys, two of them need to go. You know what I mean?
Well, this is definitely going to be This is definitely going to be Clemens' last year. Like, that's basically, like, you know, there's no two ways about
and,
it.
Yeah.
There are times when, you know, like when I was really digging Luis Vizcaíno, I think he really turned things around. But at the same time, you know, Steinbrenner's always going to look at the bottom line. That's why he got rid of John Lieber after 2004. You know, like he pitched an awesome game two, but he didn't get rocked, but he got beat in game six. So that's basically the only reason why he didn't stick around. It's the same thing with Andy Pettit. You know, like Andy Pettit, you know, pitched with that, you know, that franchise for so many years.
I think he had a fairly good year. I mean,
he's had a terrific everything that he had to do. He had a terrific year, and he pitched a tremendous, you know, like very courageous game against the Indians when we needed him to. The problem was that you know, like our team just kind of ran into a 19 win Cy Young candidate who denied us any real hits. So,
but they wasted their money on Clemens, I'm telling you. They wasted money on Clemens. He's not the pitcher he used to be. Okay, let's do some politics. We're going to have to give you the Yankee talk out of your system before you can do it all effectively.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I do have to, you know, give like a hearty to the Phillies even though, you know, like, we're probably going to wind up getting swept, they got swept first. So
that's a red hot. That's a red hot Colorado team, though.
Oh, I love watching. I gotta say, like, I mean, yes, you know, like I obviously have my own allegiance to, you know, like see who I want to go far, but I'm loving what I'm watching out of Colorado. Those guys are so much fun to watch.
Colorado and Arizona are both really fun teams to watch.
Oh, that's gonna be a tremendous NLCS. That is gonna be so good with two teams that really just don't want to lose at this point.
Now, if you hit TBS/Fox/, everybody's got the TV rights to the playoffs, aren't you already a little bummed out that the Yankees are down 0-2, the Cubs are gone, the Phillies are gone, all your big market teams went in the play tonight except Boston?
I know. And of all those big market teams that are left, it has to be friggin' Boston?
Yeah, well, Boston got the easiest matchup. Dangerous candidate. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much an easy matchup when you're dealing with a team that can't hit. You know, they can't hit anything.
I mean, I would kind of love it. You know, would love to see them suffer the same fate as us against the Indians. You know, so.
Well,
but that's just.
If it was the Indians Red Sox ALCS, I would lean towards the Indians.
I would too.
The Red Sox have some serious bullpen issues.
They do. They really do, and you know, like I am, you know, like obviously I'm going to be, you know, like, you know, cheering for Cleveland if that happens. But when it, you know, like what you know, what it comes down to is simply whenever, you know, like when Boston won it in 2004, that was the longest offseason I've ever had to deal with, because you have Red Sox Nation that's not exactly used to winning. And so they are basically just kind of soaking it in and pounding their chest as much as possible. And, yeah, I'm a Yankee fan, and a lot of us do that as well, but I'm a humble Yankee fan. You know, I do my cheering and everything, but I don't do, you know, like any, you know, like any trash talking along the way. You know that as much as
anybody. I think that if the Indians and the Rockies are down back to the World Series, the ratings would be terrible, but it would be a fantastic series.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have three really hot young teams in these playoffs right now.
Yeah, and they're passionate. They're fun to watch. The fans are really into it. You know, like, I mean, this is, you know, like, even though I had my issues with Arizona in 2001, this is a team that I'm perfectly fine with because it has nothing to do with that team back then.
Yeah. This is. But I mean, the ratings would be junk. The National World Series ratings would be junk. They'd be terrible.
Yeah.
It would be a big series.
Yeah.
Well, okay, let's move on. Now, have you heard about Hillary Clinton's ad?
The ad where she used, like, little, you know, quick images of 9/11 where she's, you know, she's got, like, the dust mask on. So, like, I actually just saw it a few minutes ago.
Yeah, I think you know what I'm going to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Is she explaining 9/11 here?
There's a part of me that wants to say yeah, but then there's you know, like, she didn't beat you over the head with it. You know, she basically just, you know, she showed no photos of the towers coming down. She showed no photos of people running away from the wreckage. You know, she basically showed what she has been doing to help, you know, people that have been affected by 9/11 after 9/11. And I think that to me is just like the deciding factor for me. I'm not, you know, like, you know, taking her side or anything because she's a Democrat, you know, like, simply. It's just a matter of, you know, like, the way that she did it. She basically just kind of glossed over all these different issues that she had put her helping hand into, and one of them just happened to be 9/11.
Yeah, I think this was more subtle and more tasteful.
Oh, absolutely,
but,
more subtle
part,
and leagues.
This is part
tasteful.
Of her general election strategy.
Yeah.
I mean, she's going after Giuliani right here.
Yeah.
Now, that ad was not meant for Democrats.
Oh, yeah. Well, especially, like, considering
Giuliani.
Especially considering, you know, like, you know, the accusations that Giuliani has for what he did to, you know, like, the firefighters and the rescue workers after 9/11.
And frankly, it takes some major stones to sit there and go after a guy who's going to be your opponent. It takes a major confidence.
Yeah.
This before the first primary they were going to fire the first shot at your possible general election.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. Say that part one more time.
It takes a major confidence to run this kind of ad this early.
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of she's got, you know, she's definitely like in the mode right now where she's just like, all right, let's move in for the kill.
Yeah, here's what the co-chair of the Giuliani campaign had to say. The fact that Hillary is hitting so early on this shows that she believes Rudy's going to win the nomination. Rudy gets a lot of support for Rudy handled 9/11. That's the leadership he's shown. That's the reason why he's running so well. Our good friend and resident that job, Congressman Peter King, said, she realizes how much Rudy's leadership on 9/11 resonates with the American people. As long as this campaign is about 9/11 and the war on terror, Rudy wins. Hillary can't win that fight. I disagree.
If Rudy wants to run on
9/11, he's going to lose.
Say that last statement one more time.
Peter King said, as long as the campaign is about 9/11 and the war on terror, Rudy wins. Hillary can't win that fight.
I disagree. I definitely disagree. Because, you know, like, that's basically telling the American people that they will vote for anything that's related to 9/11. And it's basically just kind of playing them for fools. You know, like, it's basically just, you know, like, it's kind of like the recent Family Guy episode when Lois was running for mayor. And every question that was thrown her way, all she said was 9/11. And she got applause.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think the time for using 9/11 as a political weapon has come and gone. And I think if he wants to stand there and go, with what John Spirit called the 9/11 Tourette's. You know, if he wants to do that, that's fine.
Right.
But he's not going to win.
It obviously worked in 2004 because, you know, they were able to get reelected. But you know, that's a low that you can only shoot once. That's, you know, just like you do it, and then you move on.
I mean, the amount of people are starting for a discussion about Iraq.
What's that?
And the problem is, neither Julie nor Clinton wants to have the discussion.
I couldn't hear a thing on that.
Well, this is what's happening. They want a discussion on Iraq, and neither Giuliani or Clinton wants to have that discussion.
Yeah.
And this is why next fall's campaign could be such a downer.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a battle between the lesser of two evils, which is Giuliani and Clinton.
Say that last part one more
neither
time.
One of them. Go ahead, George.
I'm sorry, say that last part one more time.
This could be a battle between the lesser of two evils next fall. If neither one of them wants to talk about any of the issues Americans care about.
Talking about the issues that America really cares about, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was...
If Giuliani sits there and says 9/11, 9/11, 9/11,
he's gonna
and
lose.
Hillary sits there and dodges questions,
right,
what kind of general election is going to be?
I think, you know, like, if Giuliani's going to be going about, you know, like 9/11, 9/11, 9/11, then... The only answer that Hillary's really gonna need to come up with is 9/12, 9/12, 9/12, because she needs to focus on what to do after 9/11, because that's the world that we're living in right now.
The Republicans keep trying to drag us back to the past and scare the Holy Hall. They scare the Holy Hall. They say, "Oh my God, the terrorists are coming! The terrorists are coming! Vote for us, and you'll be safe." That's their pitch. That's all they got.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to talk about Iraq. They don't want to talk about domestic policy. They don't want to talk about 9/11.
Right.
And it's really, really sick. It's not good for the country in any way, shape, or form. It's just disgusting. It's disgusting that they would do this to all the people that were injured and died that day.
Mm-hmm.
It's disgusting that they have boiled down on the most tragic of the domestic events in nation's history into a campaign slogan.
Yeah, and that's something that has been going on for, you know, like basically like ever since the towers fell. I mean, that's basically like when the campaign slogans really started coming up. That's when, you know, like Bush was saying, either you're with us or you're with the terrorists. You know, like that's when, you know, like that's when the whole black and white spin went, you know, like, you know, went into effect. And that's what really has been kind of pissing off Americans. You know, as of late, you know, like they really need to be given a lot more credit than what they're being given by the people in Washington.
We talked with 3 or 4 times in the show now, and I'm telling you, every time somebody tries to play the 9/11 card, we're going to talk about it again.
Yeah,
you know, we're not going to let this go.
Right.
Somebody
has
to
help. You know, I mean, they're using, like, it's. Just the fact that they're being such opportunists about it is just sickening. You know, like, I mean, they're basically just saying over and over again, and I will never forget, like, this little moment that happened about a year or so ago on Bill Maher, when, you know, like, Alec Baldwin was on there, of course, and there was a conservative person, you know, like a person from the Republican side of the Senate, and he was basically going on and on about how there hasn't been a terrorist attack on our land since 9/11. And to which, you know, like Alec finally, you know, like he's like the only person who ever called, you know, like some of these people on that statement when he said,
yeah,
which happened, by the way, on your watch.
That's exactly it.
And that's like nobody bothers to say that, and because like everybody immediately put into the whole spin of blame Clinton for this.
Yeah, yeah, and I don't see how this is Bill Clinton's fault. I'm sorry, 9/11 isn't Bill Clinton's fault.
Right.
It doesn't belong to Clinton. You know,
it shouldn't belong to anybody. That's the thing. That's the thing.
If you're gonna ask, like, where's the problem that day? Or the response in the aftermath, all politically, you're right, that should help people as far as a flip issue. But if you're going to lay blame somewhere for screw-ups, it goes with this administration.
Yeah.
The blame for the mistake is here, not with the previous administration. Okay, let's spend a few minutes talking about Obama's health care and the controversy that he's
in. What are we talking about? Hold on. Back up.
Obama's health care and how he won't wear his form with health care anymore. The American economy.
What is this?
You know how Obama has made the announcement that he doesn't wear his American flag lapel pin?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That communist Obama decided that he won't wear his lapel pin because, as he said, lapel pins become a substitute for, quote, true patriotism since the 2001 attacks. I probably have worn a flag pin in a long time. After all, I notice people wearing a lapel pin and not being very patriotic. My attitude is I'm less concerned about what you're wearing on your lapel than what's in your heart. You're doing your patriotism about how you treat your fellow Americans, especially those who serve.
This is just another tactic to make make one of the Democratic candidates. Apparently a dangerous Democratic candidate because they're going after him. And sticking this un-American, unpatriotic label on him just because he's not wearing a pin. That right there is like the sum total of how the right wingers like to use these icons and images and everything as their tool to basically just kind of goad people into saying, like, I wear an American flag on my pin, therefore I love America. Look, here's an image of the towers falling. Vote for me. It so ties in together. It's basically like trying to almost subliminally persuade the viewers into voting for them.
And I'm not sure this whole lapel pin business matters to anybody except those Republicans.
It shouldn't.
I don't think
anybody.
People really care.
Right.
If you wear a lapel pin or not.
Right. But at the same time, the Fox News is basically just kind of taking this and running with it. And it's gonna basically despite the fact that, you're gonna poll. Go outside and poll like about 100 people. Ask them if they give a damn about a lapel pin being on someone's jacket, and see where that gets you. People don't care about this sort of stuff. It's not about are you patriotic? You're running for president. Of course you're patriotic. We're in the mode right now. It's just like, what are you going to do for us now? Which is why the approval rating in Congress right now is so low, because in 2006, they voted for a Democratic Congress by saying, what will you do for us now? And the fact that it hasn't happened now, that's why they have a low rating.
And you know what? It's not just the Democratic Congress, it's not just the war. It's also the fact that they spend time voting to condemn Newborn.org instead of doing something about the war.
Instead of
going to the mat and fighting with the president, it's kind of stupid stuff.
Yeah, it's trying to take people's minds off of it.
Now back to Obama's lapel pin. The really frustrating thing for Obama has to be that he gave a major policy address this past week.
Say that
big
again.
Address outlining his whole vision for the 21st century foreign policy in America. As president, what he would do, what he sees. And what gets all the answers? His lapel pin. His policy doesn't matter.
Rewind that, say that one more time.
He gave a major one policy speech last week. Major, big policy speech. And that got no airplay. And what got all the airplay? His lapel pin.
Yeah.
Now, how frustrating is that for a person like Barack Obama?
It's incredibly frustrating for all voters, because we're the ones that need to hear all of the this isn't just like let's see what Obama has to stand for and everything. We need this is stuff we need to hear. These are things that we need to go into the polls with and really kind of – and basically, you know, like use whatever information that we have at our disposal to make our final decisions. And we can't really make any sort of educated final decisions if we're getting thumped over the head with Barack Obama's not wearing an American flag pen.
Yeah, and the fact that we have one candidate who doesn't answer questions in Hillary Clinton.
Right.
And another candidate who doesn't get the chance to have his views expressed because people are talking about how many people show up at his rally and Sheriff LaBelle in.
Mm-hmm.
And John Edwards isn't being covered fairly. John Edwards is going to set himself on fire on the street and get that was good. Well, look, I got to ask
you. Still stuck in third place and everything about, during this whole thing. I mean, this would be one thing if it was like people saying like, oh, Chris Dodd's not wearing his lapel pin. You know, these are like the top two candidates, the top two rock star candidates that the media has already like, you know, if they're ready to play Hail to the Chief at any given moment to either of them.
So I got to ask you, is it going to end well that the administration is still torturing?
Say that again.
Is it even newsworthy that we found out the administration is still engaging in torture?
I'm sorry. It's still like really broken up. I can't really hear it.
Okay, yeah, you're breaking up. Is it newsworthy that came out that the administration is still torture?
Is it
even worth talking about, or is it just a given?
I just can't hear you.
Torture. Yeah, the secret memos this week in the news.
Yes, with the White House basically saying that they do not torture.
Is that even newsworthy?
Is that newsworthy?
It's not even important anymore.
I think basically, like, I mean, it is almost flabbergasting to me about how irrelevant in everyone's minds Bush has suddenly become, and it's kind of scary because like now people don't really he still has, like, however we feel about him, the man's still got another year in office. And he should be watched like a hawk at this point because right now he has nothing to lose. You know, like, his approval rating's in the toilet. He's basically just, he already knows how irrelevant he is. You know, he's basically under this sort of, history will judge me kind of thing. We need to kind of start judging him right now, and the only way to do that is to really pay real close attention to anything that he is doing or saying. Because the man still has another year to screw us up even more.
One more question, George. This is where I'm going to take it from. Do you think that Bush changed such a growth on war crime charges, on torture charges in the world court for torture?
Say that again?
Do you think that Bush and pushing the South the administration to drop on charges in the world court for engaging in torture?
I heard Bush and Cheney at the beginning, but I didn't hear what the...
Okay, Bush, Cheney, charges, world court, torture. Get that? Should they be brought up in international court on human rights violations?
Yeah, I think they should. You know, like, if it's proven that they have done it, then absolutely. But they have to go ahead and prove it. You know, like, they have to go ahead and really kind of push forth, because right now, you know, like, obviously the big brain, you know, Karl Rove is not there anymore. You have Alberto Gonzalez, who is not, you know, like, who's not, you know, like, basically feeding Democrats with as many sound bites as possible. He's not there anymore. They basically just kind of have to push in and really make sure that they know what they're talking about, because, like bringing them up on charges is one thing, but actually convicting them of the charges is something else.
Yeah. George, it's 11:30. We kind of took about a third of the show and talked about baseball. So we're going to have to wrap it up. What's coming up on 411 this week?
This week I am continuing my four-part series on Scene Anatomy 101 at 411mania.com/movies. This is the four-part series where I show the evolution of the character Pinhead from the Hellraiser films. So we will be taking a look at a scene from Hellbound Hellraiser 2. And then Thursday on the UBS Evening Movie News, I will be making a a plea to filmmakers that that are insisting on all of these different remakes. I am basically insisting on calling on them to take a different spin on it. And you'll be able to see what that is on Thursday.
Absolutely. Please check out the website. You can find me on Tuesdays and Fridays for the viewers. Same address, www.forumme.com/politics is where I reside. I'm like George from the movies. George, thanks for coming on the show. As usual, it's been great. I had to get a chance to talk to you and tell us about that nasty old woman talking all the time. I will see you next Sunday, and I really, really hope that everyone else can forgive us for the poor audio and the fact that I've had to repeat myself over and over and over again, George. But I can barely hear him. He can sometimes hear me. It's not an easy way to work. See you next week, folks. Bye, George.
Bye-bye.